brought to you by
American Leak Detection and Twin Peaks Scenic Views Drinks Eats.
Okay, here's Dave.
Go, Dave.
Okay, so we all have ladies in our life.
Mm-hmm. And do we ever.
One trait that seems cuts through every kind of socioeconomic, racial background, age, whatever, is that women love true crime.
Yeah, they do. They really, really do. And it kind of goes back to Dateline, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like Dateline, 48 Hours.
Right.
Those kind of shows started it. But it's become a cottage industry.
Absolutely.
And so there was one that stuck out to me that my wife was really into, and it culminated, at least for now, last Friday. And I speak of the story of Karen Reed.
I am so glad you're bringing this up. I've seen her name in the news for months, and not one time have I clicked on it to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have no idea. I don't even know. Is this the Boston lady?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so her first trial, it started in April of 2024, and it ended a few months later in a mistrial because of a starkly divided hung jury. They could not reach any kind of decision. And then her second trial, jury selection began April 1st of this year, and the jury began deliberations on June 13th, and then they reached their verdict on Friday. And so she is a 45-year-old woman from outside of Boston, and she was dating a Boston police officer. And, you know, he was divorced. He had a kid from his previous marriage. And this actually, the story of the crime and that first trial was made into an HBO documentary, A Body in the Snow, The Trial of Karen Reed. And so I watched that with my wife, and then her name, like you said, has been in the headlines for the last few months, and they finally came to a verdict on Friday. So if you've not been up to speed on this.
Yeah.
So she and her boyfriend at the time had gotten into an argument, and she was accusing him of cheating on her. And so his name is O'Keefe. John O'Keefe.
Okay.
And so her defense is, or the prosecution says that she ran him over with her car whenever they were having a drunken argument. She left him to die in the snow. And
it near their place, or was this?
No, this was outside another police officer's home where there was supposedly a post party. But neither of them went in.
A post murder party?
No, a post drinking out socially party.
Okay.
But her defense says that someone else beat him to death and then left him out in the snow and framed her for the murder. And so the event happened on January 28th, 2022. And so O'Keefe and Karen Reed, they were out drinking at several bars with friends and coworkers. And then after midnight, the group headed to the home of Brian Albert, a now former Boston police officer. And everybody was like, let's meet at Brian's place and we'll hang out and have more drinks. But there was a massive snowstorm that was blowing through that night as well. And so around 12:15 to 12:45, multiple witnesses say they saw a dark SUV parked outside the Albert home, but no one went inside. And so at that point, they look at text messages and voicemails from Karen Reed to John O'Keefe. And she, at like 1 a.m., she leaves him a voicemail that says, "You're an effing loser. F yourself. John, I effing hate you."
That doesn't sound like love.
Like she is leaving him all these voicemails that night. And then that morning, she's like calling friends in a panic saying, "John never came home. I don't know where he is." And so she
So the insulting voicemails would actually be a very comfortable alibi.
Yeah, well, because it shows that she, at least in theory, doesn't know where he is,
right.
And she thinks that he ghosted her,
that's right.
He's off with someone else.
We're having a big fight, but I don't want him dead. That's ridiculous.
But even if everything was on the up and up, and she's calling him saying, I effing hate you, you're a loser, F you, blah, 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 over and over, I'm probably not coming home either. I mean, if I'm not dead. Like,
right.
I'm going to a hotel and like, yeah, I don't want to be there.
And so she, with the sister-in-law of the owner of the home where they were supposed to be, and another friend, they go searching for him. They find him unresponsive in the snow around 6 a.m. outside the Albert residence.
Was he frozen?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
But died not from hypothermia, but died from blunt force?
Okay, yes. So police say that when they examined the scene, they found a broken cocktail glass and pieces of a taillight at the scene. The taillight from her Lexus SUV. And a forensic toxicologist said that her blood alcohol content would have been around 0.13 to 0.29 around 12:45. So she was wasted.
That's a big...
That's like beyond blackout.
Yeah, and they have video surveillance at these bars, and they're counting the drinks that she's had.
Oh, God.
So she is plowed. And then so an autopsy on John O'Keefe, they say that the medical examiner ruled his cause of death was blunt impact injuries to the head and hypothermia. So he was not dead when he was in the snow, that contributed to his death. And they did not find any obvious signs of an altercation or fight. And then
the cocktail glass, though, right outside, was she like, hit him with the car and then threw her martini on him?
Yeah, well, I think it's...
Appletini, I'm sorry.
Yes, come on.
It's been a while since I saw the HBO show, but I think at some point they show that she leaves one of the bars with...
A glass?
A glass. Okay. Like, she basically takes the glass as a roadie, as if she needed more drinks.
Yeah.
Right.
And then among the other key pieces of evidence to support the prosecution's case... They looked at data from her SUV, and it says that at 12:32 outside the Alberts home, that she drove forward 34 feet, braked, then suddenly accelerated backwards for 53 feet at 24 miles an hour. And so that is the prosecution's claim, that she backed over him and then left him for dead. Okay? But the whole rest of this investigation was completely botched. They don't have photographs of his body where it was found. And they were just scooping up like blood-soaked snow in Solo cups to bring back for testing. Like it was just really haphazard.
So the prosecution screwed all this up.
The investigation. And so the lead investigator, Michael Proctor, he was a key witness in the first trial that ended in a mistrial. And his legs were cut out from under him because he was sending text messages about her to basically everyone he knew, like all of his coworkers and his friends. And so here's a little clip of him on the stand during the first trial.
You know, a series of responses from yourself, correct?
Yes, sir.
Read from those, sir.
Yep. So from all accounts, he didn't do anything wrong. She's a whack job. C-U-N-T.
Objection. So don't spell it. You have to... So these are your words, Trooper Proctor?
Yes, Your Honor.
Go ahead and say them.
Yes, she's a babe. Weird Fall River accent, though. No ass.
Yeah, so he's commenting on, you know, that she's a C-word... You know, she's a whack job, but she's kind of hot, but she has no ass. You know, so he's basically just talking about the suspect to all of his buddies, to the point where in this retrial, he's the lead investigator. He wasn't even called as a witness because he was so toxic. And then he ended up being fired.
Yeah.
He lost his job. Now, they're saying it was for something else, not his role in this investigation and all of those sordid texts. But so the defense theory, they say that she dropped him off that Karen dropped John off and that John went inside the Albert home where a fight broke out, and those involved covered it up and planted his body outside, that he died or was beaten up inside the home. They dragged him out into the snow and left him there for dead. And her attorneys argue that his injuries showed signs of beating and an animal attack, that he had lacerations on his arm, that they said that it was from the German shepherd named Chloe that the Alberts had. Now, the prosecution says, no, that's from the taillight. The taillight scratched his arm. So no one can agree on how he got these arms injuries. And then this was the thing that blew my mind when I saw the documentary, that the defense pointed to a Google search that Albert's sister-in-law made during the night, before the morning, how long to die in cold.
What?
And so the search was allegedly made at 2:27 in the morning, long before authorities were notified of O'Keefe's death and before he was found at 6 a.m.
So are they all in trouble? All the people in, were they, is she in that house?
She was in the house.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. She was at the post party.
Well, are they not in trouble now?
Well, that's the thing, is because this investigation was so botched that people are claiming that it's a vast cover up, that it was police on police violence.
Karen's been framed.
And that Karen was framed, and that there was another guy at the house, a guy named Higgins who worked for the DEA.
From Magnum PI.
That not that Higgins, that Karen was flirting with him on text. And that she was ready to move on from John O'Keefe, and she wanted to start dating this guy, and that maybe John had found out and confronted him. So there's all these other theories.
So this isn't over.
No. Okay, so I'm getting to the verdict. And so the verdict comes down on Friday, and they ended up, they said that she was not guilty of second-degree murder, not guilty of vehicular manslaughter, and not guilty of leaving the scene of a collision that caused death. She was convicted of driving under the influence and sentenced to 1 year of probation. So she got like the minimum that she could have gotten. And so the other thing about this is, you, outside of the first trial and this trial, you have two factions. You have the Free Karen. They're all wearing pink and they're cheering for Karen. Because, you know, she's an attractive woman, and she is, her very expensive defense team is helping her get the word out and get her story out. But then you also have the Justice for John and the Thin Blue Line and Police Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, all of those people. And so you have these two sides screaming at each other, and to where the judge had to say no one can be within 200 yards of the courthouse. But even still, when they read the verdict on Friday, you could hear cheers inside the courtroom because they're listening on the radio outside.
God, my buddy texted and said that they, whoever, the people that didn't go in the house, supposedly, like, destroyed the Ring doorbell camera footage.
Yeah.
And they rehomed the dog. They redid the floors.
Yeah, they rehomed the dog. They tore out all the floors in the basement. They redid the basement. Then they sold the house.
Well, jeez.
So, who knows? Like, at this point, no one still knows what happened to John O'Keefe. And John O'Keefe's family, they're going to obviously have a civil wrongful death suit against Karen Reed. But Karen Reed, at this point, is a free woman. And people are comparing her to, like, Casey Anthony or Amanda Knox. Like, it's the, is she a cold, calculated killer, or is she the damsel in distress?
Yeah.
And you have to choose your own adventure, basically.
Right.
But This is one of those rare true crime cases that your wife or girlfriend is into, that you're like, I'll be damned, this is fascinating.
I've seen her name 1,000 times and I've not clicked on it. I'm so glad you walked us through this, because yes, I had no idea.
Well, and like I said, it's been a minute since I've seen the documentary, and I was trying to catch up on all these various stories. So it wasn't the smoothest hand guiding you through the story, but the fact is that she is a free woman, and no one still knows how his body ended up in the snow. But yeah, if you want to at least get caught up to, I'm sure they will have an addendum to the series, but A Body in the Snow, the trial of Karen Reed on HBO Max.
Okay.
Nice.